The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Saturday, August 1st. Welcome to our weekend episode of The Newsworthy that we call Special Edition Saturday. And today we're talking about missions to Mars. NASA just launched its fifth and most sophisticated Mars rover ever built. So what will this car-sized robot called Perseverance actually do? And why does it matter? And what role does it play in that bigger goal to send humans to the red planet? Is that even possible? Our guest today answers those questions and more. Elizabeth Howell is a space journalist and author. Her latest book, The Search for Life on Mars, is out now. She also contributes to Space.com, Forbes, Sky News, and CBC. So here's our conversation about exploring and maybe even living on Mars. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. It's fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. It's time for today's Special Edition Saturday. You ready? Let's do this. Hi, Elizabeth. Thanks so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
Thanks for inviting me. I can't wait.
What's the overall goal of sending this rover called Perseverance to Mars?
There's been a quest for many decades now to try and understand where life might have come from on Mars. And so we know there's water. We know there are organic materials that probably could support life, we hope anyway. And so now really the question is where these microbes, if they're there, could be lurking. And so what Perseverance will be doing in part, it has a lot of missions, but one of the things it will be doing is trying to characterize what rocks might be holding ancient life, sort of signs of ancient life of some sort, and then putting them aside in a cache. Then the idea is in a few more years, another mission will come along, scoop up these samples, and then through kind of like a relay race of spacecraft, send the sample all the way back to Earth. And then we will very, very carefully, avoiding the choice of another pandemic, right? Open up the samples in a controlled laboratory and make sure that we have some great science coming from it. Because really, we can't take all of the stuff we need to Mars. It's just like trying to pack for a camping trip, right? You can't take all the advanced equipment you want. But if we can bring the sample back to Earth eventually, that means we can use the best laboratories and the safest methods to open up the samples and see what's there.
And this has something to do with the bigger mission of eventually sending humans to Mars, right? If so, how?
Well, that is the question, because we need to make sure that we can get people there safely, obviously, so avoiding any of the microbes that might be of harm. And so eventually, what we want to do is get experience running around on Mars with these heavy rovers so we can land even heavier bits of equipment for humans. So as an example, let's talk about the atmosphere, because the atmosphere of Mars is super weird and it really is relevant for human exploration. So the atmosphere of Mars is carbon dioxide, which is the stuff you breathe out as a human. So not very friendly to people. It also is very, very thin. And so it'd be like standing on the top of a mountain. You just wouldn't be able to get a breath of air, even if there was air. And so we have two problems, essentially, which is the thinness of the atmosphere and its composition. A spacesuit's going to take care of the problem in the immediate vicinities. But in the longer run, we're sort of interested in finding out if we can somehow use the atmosphere and generate oxygen for humans. So on the Perseverance rover is going to be an experiment that will be trying in a small way to convert carbon dioxide into oxygen through a series of chemical reactions. And if that ends up working, it's super exciting because it means we don't have to bring everything that we need to Mars.
It's just hard for people to wrap their minds around how would we ever have humans living on Mars. Do you think that's actually going to happen? And what's the timeline for it?
Well, the bigger problem than the technology, I think, is actually the funding, because it's just like any kind of a project. If you're trying to build something big, do it within 4 or 8 years. And the reason I mentioned 4 or 8 years is that's typically how long a president lasts in the United States, right? And it's hard to get any big technology project finished in that short of a time. Even the studies to get a project ready can take a decade. The other question, you know, assuming that suddenly all this money drops on NASA's lap, is making sure that they have the technology there to keep people safe. And the reason that's important is Mars has a lighter gravity than Earth. And also when you're flying in between, for the time being with current technology, we have no way to simulate gravity on a spacecraft, at least efficiently. And so they need to find safe ways of getting astronauts medically fit for arriving on Mars and starting to do the work there. I think that given enough money and maybe about 15 to 20 years, they would be able to do it. But here's the caveat. We've always said that Mars is 20 years in the future. That's sort of like the old joke, you know? So I'm saying now in 2020, we're going to be on Mars in 2040. Then some sort of funding situation is going to happen and it's going to get pushed off again. So it could be 2040, or if it's not a priority for NASA and other administrations, then maybe they're going to have to push it off to 2050 or 2060 or even beyond that.
And of course, to get funding, people have to understand the real purpose. Like, why are we doing this? Is there a reason beyond exploration?
I would say there is. The biggest reason beyond exploration, in my opinion anyway, is trying to figure out how to keep seniors safe. Because a lot of the problems that astronauts encounter as healthy 40, 50, 60-year-olds in space is the same thing that a person who's maybe 80 or 90 or older will experience here on Earth. And most populations around the world, not all, but most, tend to be rather old and getting older and older as years go on. So they have problems like blood vessel flow is not going as efficiently, which can lead to blockages and at the worst, I suppose, heart attacks and things like that. You also have bones that get weaker. So problems like that are things that doctors are trying to solve in these younger astronauts. And then already there are labs that are set up on Earth, including here in Canada where I live, where we take those studies, those direct studies that we use with astronauts, and then we use them immediately on people who are much more senior than that. A secondary argument that I'll just mention quickly is also the technology development. The reason I'm only mentioning it quickly is you can't really predict where technology is going to take us. I mean, nobody knew in the 1960s that using Velcro on the sides of a spacecraft, carefully, of course, would be useful for so many other applications here on Earth, like children's running shoes, for example, right? So technology at its, you know, at the cutting edge, at the point where you're sort of trying out things, you never can predict how it's going to be helpful. But another example could be miniaturization of computers, which is something we started to learn about on Apollo. And we all have stuff in our pockets now. It's way, way more powerful.
What about a third reason of climate change and the fear that Earth may not be inhabitable forever?
That is a good long-term question, and I agree that people are thinking about it. So more distantly in the future, assuming that we get to Mars and assuming that we're feeling somewhat comfortable, that could be another location for us to go to in the future. However, there are some barriers around that. The first one is that the environment on Mars, as I indicated, is not all that great. You can't breathe the air. It's really cold. It also is really dangerous in the sense that if something goes wrong, you're just kind of stuck there. It takes about, as I said, 6 to 9 months to get back, depending on the orbits. It could be a couple of years if the orbits aren't in the right spot between Earth and Mars. So if we can sort of keep those caveats in mind, though, there are a few things that we can do to get Mars ready for Earth, like inhabitants. Obviously, we could have more advanced facilities and backup facilities, so you wouldn't just have, you know, one network of habitats on the same systems. You also would have backups in terms of supply ships. So you would need to make sure not to have just one single shipment going out there every couple of years. You want to have like a network of things that are going out there and back. And of course, there's also the dream of terraforming Mars, which would be somehow making the planet more habitable for humans by making it like Earth. Like, for example, you would change the atmosphere from carbon dioxide to something that's more like oxygen, nitrogen, like we have here. You also would try to thicken up the atmosphere a little bit so that water can run on the surface like it did billions of years ago. So it is possible.
Final takeaway for our audience.
Mars is a lot of fun. It's not only fun because it's inherently interesting as a planet, but also because we can learn a lot out there about how to operate in extreme environments. And so there is value both in the inherent scientific sense and also in the sense that we will see benefits here on Earth eventually.
The Perseverance rover is set to arrive on the Red Planet in February 2021. We've linked to more information about this week's launch and our possible future on Mars in today's episode notes. You'll find all the links at thenewsworthy.com. Just click episodes and look for today's date. Interviews like these will be available every Saturday, but be sure to join us Monday through Friday as well for our regular weekday episodes. We provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. Subscribe or follow in your podcast app so you're always in the know, and connect with us on Instagram at NewsworthyPod. Thanks again for joining today. We'll chat again on Monday. Have a great rest of the weekend.